why I've really wanted to talk about this is, as I said, literally speaking to friends or mentors, different generations, different cultures, different faith backgrounds, everyone literally feels like they're walking on eggshells. Even when we were saying to friends that we're recording this episode, people are like, oh gosh, thankfully someone's going to say something.
Oh, you really brave to hear that.
This is the Magnify podcast, where we have conversations around the things that matter to our community. We have frank discussions about faith, money, relationships, work, and building resilience through the ebb and flow of life. You won't find overworked or polished answers here, just authentic, candid perspectives that will elevate your week. I'm Ruth, founder and CEO of Magnify.
And I'm Rachel of Team Magnify, and we're your hosts for this episode. We hope the conversation both inspires and brings some practical wisdom to you today. Here on the Magnify podcast, in the fifth episode of the season, we are talking about tolerance. No matter what your background or beliefs, there is no doubt that our present culture appears to be conflicted when it comes to what we tolerate and what we won't. For many women, accepting and supporting everyone is undergirding a lot of our conversations at work and in our leisure times. But is this a fallacy? Is it truly possible to have convictions and still uphold everyone and everything? The way the media has polarized certain issues has presented us with a challenge, and we often make assumptions about people with certain values and caricature them. How can we respond well as women of faith? Join us as we unpack this further. We hope this conversation is thought-provoking and helpful. Let's listen in.
We're going to be talking about tolerance and culture. I know you've been really excited to speak about this.
An understatement. Yeah.
So what, like, have you got any stories? What are your initial thoughts when somebody says that to you?
So I think one thing I have noticed, and I'll maybe tell a story soon, is that, like, whenever I speak to friends nowadays, friends of no faith, Christian faith, different faiths, everyone has become like, oh, wow, we really live in a society where we can't actually even discuss or like share views literally outside of like a friendship circle of three people. And so I just found it interesting how it's clearly something that many of us are like feeling and experiencing, that why is it that we can't kind of have sensible discussions where we accept the fact that people disagree with us? And I think for me, one of the reasons I find it really troubling is, like, particularly living at the moment in the UK, where 5% of the population would declare themselves as Christian. I know that I live in a society where the very core and essence of who I am, the majority of the population disagree with me, but I totally love and support people's freedom to disagree with me and to actually think maybe I'm a crazy person or like I'm completely delusional. But it seems that, like, now, particularly in like mainstream media or like culture or like the creative industries, that we're kind of living in a time where people feel so scared, not even that they're actually like sharing their views that they disagree with, but they can't even like question anything. And I just think that's like very problematic as a society, if we're kind of living in a time where people literally feel like, I've got one friend, he'll always joke, like, even on WhatsApp groups, he's not even saying his opinion because he doesn't know what's happening to people's phones nowadays. And it's not even like a controversial opinion really that he wants to utter, I'm sure. It's just like disagreeing with what is like established thought in culture. But how do you feel like tolerance in today's world, what does that look like?
I think it's a bit of a fallacy because we talk about how much, you know, I think it's from the right heart. We want to be way better at listening to each other, showing respect to each other, understanding that people are different to us. They have different views, they've had a different background, and perhaps their life experience is different to ours. So I understand the heart it kind of comes in. I think the problem with that is, I don't know that any of us can ever fully be tolerant of everything. And I think that's the agenda that's pushed. And I would say, whether you're a person of faith or not, whatever kind of religious beliefs you have or political beliefs, there are going to be some things that you perhaps you feel you can't stand by. Now, that doesn't mean you can't listen to someone's view or have an intelligent conversation. And we can talk about that later. That's necessary. But I think them feeling a push to have to actively promote something that you do not stand by is what is classed as tolerance today, but nobody actually does that. So it's kind of like we say we're tolerant, but then the minute somebody does something we don't like, we're no longer tolerant. So I'm not even sure. I think it's a bit of a myth.
Yeah. Because I think that's the thing, is I find that, like, I was having a discussion at like a founders event a year or two ago, And someone was asking me my view on something in particular. And I said, I in no way want to control what anybody does. I'm not judging anyone. This is just in my personal life, and my personal convictions. This is how I would go about it if I were in this personal situation. So the person was like, I just strongly disagree. And I was like, that is totally fantastic, because that's the point of like human existence, in a way, that we do have different views. But particularly in like a peaceful society, we can coexist with people thinking differently to us.
Yeah.
And so it kind of just, I left the dinner quite sad. And I was saying to my husband that the reason it made me sad is I was like, I wasn't even talking about this specific issue, not even because it's controversial, but more just like the person, I don't know them that well. So why do I need to be telling them my personal views on things that I know are controversial? But they had literally like forced the conversation into that way. And then when I said that for my own personal life, with my own personal convictions, I would disagree, it then kind of became like a semi-argument. And I was like, this is quite an unfortunate time we're living in many ways, because then I feel like we're becoming more polarized, because we're like having a set of like, you know, 10 or 15 particular issues, and literally instead of just having a normal conversation with a stranger, we're angling conversations to points where we know we're probably going to disagree with someone, and then being like, okay, well, this is why I can't kind of keep talking to you anyway. Have you kind of had any recent experiences of where you found that we're not as tolerant as a society maybe as we think?
I think just through speaking with people, and not just people of faith, but especially people of faith, Christian faith, feeling very fearful to kind of say anything or do anything. And I think it comes from the right heart of,
you don't want to offend people.
Yeah, not wanting to offend and not wanting to cause a problem as well. Like wanting to actually love people who perhaps don't think the same as us, believe the same as us, behave the same as us. Because it's not kind of a moral crusade or some kind of superiority complex that we've got. It's just kind of trying to say, we want to hear each other better. But they fear actually saying anything, and they'll just...
I think that's the thing you said just about hearing each other better, that if we don't listen to other views that are different to ours, that's actually really unfortunate, because as you said, how can we hear each other better if we're not listening? If the minute someone says, oh, I disagree, we're like completely on their necks already.
So I think like just hearing their fear of just saying anything that could be
a question that shows that maybe you're not like of the established view, you just want to find out more. I feel like if we can't even ask questions, we need to wonder if like this is the right track. And I think why I've really wanted to talk about this is, as I said, literally speaking to friends or mentors, different generations, different cultures, different faith backgrounds, everyone literally feels like they're walking on eggshells. Even when we were saying to friends that we're recording this episode, people are like, oh gosh, thankfully someone's going to say something.
You really brave to do that.
But I think that like, for me, it's more about why have we got to this place? And also assessing like from a personal perspective, can we have enough conviction in our own personal views so that if people disagree with us, we can still love them and be kind to them? Because I think that's where it comes from, is that like, if I was to ask someone at Easter to, can you also wear a Jesus like saves t-shirt?
Are you wearing one of those? This is so rude.
Probably not. But could you wear one to kind of support my view that like, I want Jesus to be my foundation? If they say no, that shouldn't then cause an issue with the friendship. I should respect that that is not something that's important to them, and see that they can love me and support me in different ways, just maybe not in that particular way. So I think for me, one thing is, how can we respond well? Because I think that's like my heart upon like reflection recently, is that as a Christian, I want to stand out in the way that I respond to people, because I can't, like, sometimes it does feel very frustrating where you can't even like articulate an opinion or a question. But how do you think, like, as a woman of faith, how do you think you can respond well in situations where people disagree with you, or maybe people question what you believe if it differs to them? How do you think you can do that?
For me, I think a key is not working towards a debate or an argument, although it can and often does become that, depending on obviously the person you're speaking with. It may be someone that you know well, so you feel comfortable to kind of battle a little bit with your ideas, but you still know you care for each other, you just see things differently. So I think a key for me is I can control what I do and my responses, but I can't control everybody else's. Now, as frustrated as that may be, And as much as this conversation is so important, it's easy to point it out to everybody else instead of being self-reflective and think, well, how do I respond when somebody challenges me? Yeah. Or perhaps when I haven't listened as well as I should before, and I'm just preparing my argument back to them or thinking of a clever thing to say back to their thing that I disagree with. I think, depending on the person you're communicating with, obviously sometimes we get into these conversations with people we don't even know that well.
Which I think is probably something to stay away from.
Yeah.
Just because as much as it would be nice, I think being sensitive to the times that we live in, this is just my personal view, it's very rarely that constructive.
Yeah, especially online. And I think
online,
that is the
no way.
Worst. And I know it's everybody's been, you know, posted something and then thought, oh, perhaps I should have worded that differently, or perhaps I should have never posted that. And I think if you have a high profile for whatever reason and you post something that, again, you can be of any background, any belief, any faith, but if it in some way offends some person or group of people out there, you are going to know about it. And I think that's where the fear comes in for people feeling like they just can't, they feel almost hamstringed or like silenced in some ways, not able to say anything because the heart is not necessarily to hurt or offend. And I'm not saying we shouldn't be mindful of our actions and think properly, but I think the online world of that is just, it's the worst place you can have because you can't have a discussion.
There's no nuance online. So even if you mean something and there's a caveat or there's a specific context in which you're saying it, also because we don't have patience or have time, which is, you know, it's a busy world. So if someone maybe writes like a long caption to explain what they mean, you're probably just seeing like the first bit that comes on Instagram or like the big quote. So I think I've also learned like the hard way that on the online world is great for kind of big picture ideas. I think it's something with Magnify that sometimes we felt like even as a brand that we're walking on eggshells, because definitely over the years there's been many things we want to talk about, but I think that's why we love events and like building that safe community, because you realize that even the women in our community probably don't feel that comfortable to like ask questions or share their views, because arguing with strangers online is probably like not going to lead to like the most peaceful outcome.
Yeah, so I think out of community or good friendships or relationships, you understand a whole person.
Well, you also understand that the person is not trying to cause offense. It's like they just genuinely have a view or they have a question. Whereas obviously with strangers, you don't necessarily always have that like depth of intimate relationship where you trust them because you know them.
Yeah. And I think you, with closer friendships or relationships, you're aware of their motivation and you know them. So you're not just seeing a caricature of an opinion, because I think that's a big problem. We've society, should I say, has polarized things. So if you vote this way, if you believe this, if
you're
you think
this,
you are this. It means you're going to eat this way, you're going to shop this way. You basically become some kind of like marketing expedition for somebody. Or you're just characterized as your voting or your belief or your faith. Whereas if you actually get to know somebody, or should I say out of a friendship or relationship, you know that person is way more nuanced. They're not one size fits all. And just because perhaps they think a certain thing doesn't mean they vote a certain way, or because they have a certain belief doesn't mean they practice things a certain way. And so I think that that's a trap I think we fall into all the time with tolerance, is that person said that or did that or posted that.
They
are this. And I'm not going to be associated with them, because I think that's a really big thing as well, is especially influencers, celebrities, people with a high profile will be very, of course, in today's world, conscious of who they partner with, who they speak with, because it sticks, basically.
Do you think, though, in saying that sometimes if we have particular views or opinions that we do hold as dear, that we need to grow thick skin? And the reason I'm not saying, I'm definitely not on the other side, because I'm still always worried about that, but I feel like, again, speaking to friends from all different backgrounds, we're all like preoccupied and literally terrified of being cancelled. And obviously in today's world, there are like very real repercussions, you know, maybe losing your job, losing your livelihood, which are, you know, very tangible and impactful things. But do you think at some stage we're going to need to get to a point as like a society where, as a society, but also individually, that we realise that people not liking us because we think differently to them is just like part and parcel of life. Because the reason I say it is like, even looking online, I'm always like, surely we can't all think exactly the same. Yeah. But then I realize like no one wants to, you know, be receiving like 100 comments and like rude DMs all the time just because they express something differently. But do you think that like developing thick skin in the way where, also because society is changing rapidly in like a variety of ways, whether it's work, you know, different things, that we are then going to have very different views to many people around, that we need to kind of change the way we respond to that and not become so sensitive about people thinking of us as a certain way because we think this or we think that?
Yeah, I think as you were saying it then, I think it's partly resilience, so a thicker skin, and partly knowing ourselves and our values. And hopefully those values include respecting and hearing and still, especially as women of faith, hearing and loving other people, even if we feel even attacked a bit sometimes. Now, I'm not just talking about strangers on Instagram just commenting on something that you don't like, but I'm talking about our friends, family, colleagues who we respect, love, and we're kind of building our lives alongside and we want there to be harmony and peace. I think sometimes we've built a thought, or I think society's built a thought, that there cannot be harmony and peace if you don't actively back this person's view or you don't actively back my view. I don't think that's true. I think that's to do with maturity. I think it's being able to accept, as you said, Ruth, in an ever-changing world, we are going to have ever-changing views. Some people are going to be viewed as progressive. Some people are going to be viewed as conservative, whether you like that word or not. The key in all of that is, how do we actually listen to each other? Because I think we've got to ask ourselves as women of faith as well, even if we think, well, we're not that argumentative and we're not the ones like causing the problem all the time. I think, although depends.
Depends where you
live. It depends where you live.
Not pointing any countries out in particular.
I think it depends, and it depends on your scenario. But I think being able to sit back and think, Am I actually listening to this person's experience? It doesn't mean I have to then adopt their view and share.
But can I actually have empathy?
How do I grow compassion and empathy? Yeah. Because even if I disagree, or I just don't see things the same way, it might not be something to disagree on because there's somebody's experience. Just how can I kind of sit in their shoes and walk in their shoes a little bit without feeling that I have to wholesale give over to their view? I think it's maturity. I think it's resilience as well. And I get it. It's a very real fear that you may say something that would hurt and offend someone. I don't think that's just about your personal PR. Like, how do I come across? I think it's because you genuinely don't want to upset and hurt people. Yeah, and you genuinely love someone. I was speaking with my friends, as we said, about this episode, and they were just saying, you're brave talking about this, because they started to share how much they fear, like just putting a foot wrong, saying the wrong thing at work, and they're not outspoken kind of unbridled women who just say and do whatever they think. They care. But I do think there has to come a point where we say, well, there's caring and then there's being silenced and being fearful and not being able to comment even in an intelligent way, in an intelligent conversation.
For this episode, we collaborated with Never Fully Dressed, a UK-born clothing brand focusing on beautiful pieces and size inclusivity. Team Magnify, alongside Courtney and Philly, all wore Never Fully Dressed for this conversation. Never Fully Dressed's founder, Lucy Aylin, began sewing and making samples to sell at London's Portobello and Spitalfields markets before opening their first store 5 years later. Now a globally renowned brand, it's our honour at Magnify to feature these designs. Never Fully Dressed are kindly giving all of our listeners an exclusive discount to use on their site. Simply enter code PRESS50% 2021 to get 50% off your next order. We will also include the code in the description of this episode.
Ruth, do you think we've put being progressive above even our values, or we've put it on so much of a pedestal that it's almost a goal, like to be progressive is a goal?
So I think where I really struggle is, like, particularly because we work in media, that media does feel very progressive, but also progressive is seen as like super positive in absolutely every single way, and conservative or conservatism is seen as negative again in every single way. And I think that's the issue I have just in general, is like dealing in absolutes where nothing is ever 100% good besides God, in my opinion, and nothing is ever 100% bad. So I know that like if someone were to say, oh, someone's conservative, it's normally meant in like a slightly disparaging way of like they're stuck in the 19th century, they're probably judgmental. And if they're progressive, they're like free thinking and like forward thinking. Where I struggle with both terms, so probably starting with progressive, is the idea that changing everything all the time is in an absolute way completely positive, because there are some things that are as they are for a reason. And so changing them or eroding them, I don't necessarily think is a positive thing. But I also think the idea that if someone has particular principles or values that they truly believe in, seeing that in a negative way or saying, oh, you're just so conservative, again, I think is not particularly helpful, because, you know, I want to work, I want to be friends with people that are principled, that have things that are important, that are core to them. And so say, wait, if integrity is something that's important to you, I should hope that you don't keep changing that because of the environment that you're in or with the people that you're around. But I do think we have glorified that. Because I even remember a few months ago having a conversation with a friend, and she was saying, like, she just thinks that progressives are more intelligent than conservatives. So I was like, yeah, that's an interesting perspective. Where, like, kind of you got that from? Where's, like, your evidence? And she was like, well, there's no real evidence. It's just clear that, like, if you change your views and if you evolve, that you obviously are very intelligent. And I was like, so why is it a negative thing if somebody has principles that's what they're building their life upon? And she didn't really have an answer. And it wasn't like an argument in any way, but it was more like, even she actually was like, oh, actually, maybe I didn't mean it like that. It's probably just in the way that often progressives frame their argument. It sounds more intelligent. And that I can actually agree with. But I do think we also need to be mindful of like how powerful media is in like shaping our perspectives. Because I know one of my big passions of Magnify, which is in changing the narrative of the Christian faith, is often because in mainstream media, when it comes to like finding someone who has a conservative view, they'll choose like the person that has the most like caricatures, stereotypical view, and then like usually choose like a progressive professor. So of course, like those of us watching are like, that person can't even seem to like deliver an argument that's framed in any kind of like normal way. Whereas often progressive people, because of the way, and again, I'm not putting my foot in any camp, but more that the way that arguments are conveyed or the way that media presents those arguments, I think we just need to be mindful of like how we are being like fed information.
Yeah, I think to your point of like kind of having the progressive professor and then the like the mad conservative Christian, they're caricatures. But I think also it paints, they become the poster child for that school of thought. And so in the middle, we're sat there thinking, well, I don't subscribe to that side. I don't subscribe to that side either. I'm probably somewhere in the middle for most people. But automatically, just because of, again, I think how the media portrays things, how society is unfolding, is we, and I find myself doing this, just being honest, if I see someone with a certain thought pattern or certain opinion, I think, ah, they're a little this way or they're a little that way. And I think even just for us, again, as women of faith, stopping that kind of train of thought before it runs off the track and thinking, do you know what? No, I may be right about some of this, but I'm not trying to decide whether I'm going to be friends with this person or not. I'm trying to kind of think, do you know what? They're a real person like me with real experiences, real life, and I want to honor and respect them. I want to learn from them, but also I do have something to say, and I don't want to live in fear. And I think for me as well, raising young children now, I don't want my kids being brought up to just think, I can't say anything, I can't speak. I'm literally living in fear of saying something that's going to offend or hurt someone. Now, I don't want them to offend and hurt people, but I think I also have to trust I'm not raising them in a way that thinks they can just say whatever they want. You know what I mean? Think whatever, and it doesn't matter, and you can just pour it out. So I think I care more about it now, even for that
reason. I think that's why I actually love the discussion with my friend, as opposed to like at the Founders Dinner where I didn't know the person, because as friends, we were able to then actually talk about where do those views come from. It was a very respectful conversation. We also know the heart of each other, that we both love each other as friends. We enjoy our friendship. We might see certain things slightly differently, but we were able to actually discuss in like a peaceful and harmonious way. So I do think that as well, it's important to use wisdom as to like where we have these deep conversations. Again, what we always love to do is put it in the context of Magnify and our vision. How, I think, yeah, we really want to respond in love and still have a conviction about what we believe. How do you think as women of faith we can do that?
I think the key, you know, think about it from a biblical perspective, is it's to love our neighbor, right? It's to forgive people who've hurt us, all of those things. I think that's been interpreted quite often as just sit there and take all the bullying you can, you know, like it's fine. You just got to stand strong. I think that's a bit of a, I think it's a terrible interpretation of that. I think loving someone and forgiving someone doesn't mean you can't have an opinion. You can't speak with respect, but how you feel about your values, especially as a person of faith, and accept that they will not be accepted by everyone as well. And being okay with that, I think is a journey, certainly for me, that I need to go on. Yeah, so I think as women of faith, being able to recognize we can still be friends with someone, have community with someone, love someone when they disagree with us. But there are going to be times where we might feel maybe a bit offended that they don't agree with us, or they may feel a little offended. And I think it's that some of that is just spiritual maturity to be like, do you know what? That's okay. We're at different points in life and we can still be friends. Or if we can't, then we're not just going to end over an argument. Both Ruth and I feel passionately about this topic, and we loved being able to discuss it together, and we think there may be more to come on this one. We want these episodes to be as practical as possible, so we've pulled out our top three highlights for you. Number one, we need to grow thicker skin. We can't be too preoccupied with being cancelled. Number two, listening well is so important. Don't just wait to deliver your opinion without first listening. And number three, being progressive has its limits. Changing everything all the time is not necessarily positive. We want to keep growing in love, but also to stand with and not be ashamed of the truth that has brought so much freedom to our lives. We hope that you feel emboldened to have a thicker skin, but also a softer heart. There is a great opportunity right now in society for us to live with love and truth together.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Magnify podcast. If you found this episode helpful, there are three ways you can get back to us. One, we're always looking for ways to level up in how we engage with our community. If you have any feedback or topics you'd like to hear from us, please send us a DM on Instagram.
Two, leave us a review. Three, support our vision by subscribing to our email or donating to the vision online at magnifycollective.com. Join us next time for another episode of the Magnify podcast.